Welcome to Podcasts, recorded live at the Center for Spiritual Living in Portland, Oregon. We have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org and look under the Online tab. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its video podcast, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are on your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you for inviting me into your community this weekend, this special sacred day. I am thrilled to be with you. And I want to give a special thanks before I start the message to all my fabulous hosts so far, Catherine and Bev and Nadine and all the practitioners. And Laura, where's Laura? She's my fabulous Airbnb host. I told her I might move in because coffee just magically appears every morning. So everybody, thank you very much for having me. I'm excited to be here. I have to keep an eye on the clock. Okay. So last month, I was at the annual convention of Centers for Spiritual Living in Charleston, South Carolina. And one evening was dedicated to recognizing and honoring and celebrating Black history, Black voices. And the evening was filled with Black music and I say that because they invited in from the Charleston area various entertainers and musicians and dance groups and this fantastic, fabulous, talented woman, I can't remember her name, from California, who did spoken word. And it was all very moving. And it was an evening of celebrating, like I said, Black voices. Yeah. And the evening started with a ceremony or a ritual that I had not previously been introduced to, the pouring of libations. And this tradition, from what I understand, has deep meaning in history for many African American families in this country, perhaps other parts of the world, I don't know. But from what I understand, the point of it is to recognize and honor our ancestors and give thanks for them and invite them into the ceremony, invite them into the space. And so to do this, a Black woman, one of our CSL ministers, took the platform and she led us in this great honoring, pouring of libations. And she shared with us, remember we were in Charleston, South Carolina, and she shared with us that many of her ancestors had been enslaved. And she continued to share with us that as far as she knew, as far as her family knew, the last ancestor of hers to have been born into slavery had been born not more than 60 miles from where we were standing. And at the end of this sharing, when speaking of her ancestors, she said, "I am the answer to their prayers." Yes, I am the answer to my ancestors' prayers. And I was so deeply moved by that. I won't pretend to know what exactly was in her heart and soul when she said that, but I know it's powerful. And I know it's meaningful. And I know it's something we probably all needed to hear and remember. And it got me thinking, about just that, how we answer each other's prayers. And I continued to think about it for several days, and it was the inspiration for this talk. You are a prayer answered. And this woman sharing her story reminded me of a similar story in my life that I would like to share with you. So, the fall of 2019, and I'll say a similar story, and I fully recognize it is not the same, okay? It is not the same, but it resonated with me because in the fall of 2019, I had enrolled in my very first class to become a minister. It happened to be Metaphysical Bible, and there is a reading assignment before the first class. So I sit down at my dining room table, and I open the Bible to do my reading assignment. It's a whole other ironic story about why it was the Bible, but anyways, that's another story for another time. But I sit down, and I open the Bible for my first kind of official step in this becoming a minister journey. And I immediately felt my mother's presence right here, right over my right shoulder. She was smiling. She was so proud. And I started to cry because I remembered in that instant something I had forgotten for many years. So that was 2019. My mother passed away, made her transition in December of 2000. So 19 years before that. And after she passed away, I spent some time in her home. And of course, like we do, I was going through her stuff. And I discovered some journals I didn't know she had. And they were really more like prayer journals. And reviewing those journals and my mother's prayers, I learned that she had prayed over and over for years that one of her four sons would be called into the Catholic priesthood. So you see where this is going. And so in the fall of 2019, I remembered that. I said, okay, Mom, I'm not one of your sons, and I'm most definitely not a Catholic priest, but I am the answer to her prayers. And so perhaps some of you know how you have been an answer to your ancestors' prayers. But even if you don't have that experience, I no doubt every single one of you have been a prayer answer for somebody somewhere. And you may know what it is and you may not know what it is, but I have no doubt that you've all answered somebody's prayer at some point. Because this is what we do for each other. If you have been an AA or NA sponsor, if you have helped a child struggling in school learn how to read, if you have cuddled a newborn addicted to narcotics, you are a prayer answered. If you have welcomed a new immigrant arrival and helped that person feel welcome in their home, or if as a student you have befriended a new classmate, or if you have just shared a kind moment with an unhoused neighbor, maybe even giving them a hug, you are a prayer answered. And we do this individually, and we do this in the collective as well. This spiritual community, Portland Center for Spiritual Living, I have no doubt has been a prayer answered for many people through the years. I imagine there are many people here in this physical space and in our virtual community space that knows just the depth of the truth of that. If you've been a prayer practitioner or a musician or a singer or a guest speaker on this platform and you help somebody remember the truth of their being, you've been a prayer answered. If you've stood at this door and welcomed somebody who is feeling unseen and unheard, maybe you didn't know that's how they're feeling, but you made them feel welcome, you've been a prayer answered right here in this community. And this teaching, Science of Mind of Spirit, has been a prayer answered for many people through the years, right? The spiritual philosophy, the spiritual teaching that welcomes everybody. It's been a prayer answered for those who have been kicked out of their previous spiritual communities and maybe even their homes because of who they are and who they love. For those who feel beat up or beat down by hurtful religiosity based in fear and control. For those who feel unworthy for some reason, perhaps because of what's been done to them. This teaching can be a prayer answered. And really, we can't get away from it because it's how the universe works. And this work of being prayer answered for each other is so essential. There's so many of our brothers and sisters, our family members, here and everywhere that feel lonely, unseen, uncared for, filled with anxiety and fear and concern. So we need to keep being this prayer answered in this one family. And really, this prayer working through us for other people to help lift up them, like I said, it's how the universe works. In Kabbalah, which is the more mystical aspect of Judaism, they teach that God needs humans. God needs humans to mend the world. That the universe, spirit, called you forth because it has need of you, or you wouldn't be here. So how and why is this that the universe works this way? Well, I have a few ideas, so I'm going to share them with you. Because as Catherine knows, I'm a scientist, so I have a hypothesis for everything. So we can start with one of those foundational principles or we believe statements that we hear a lot in Science of Mind. We believe in the individualization of the spirit in us and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. Now we've probably, most of us have heard this many times because it's one of our bedrock principles. But I'm going to read it again a little bit slower and then give you a moment to really go into your heart space and contemplate what this really means at the deeper level. We believe in the individualization of the spirit in us and that all people are individualizations of the one spirit. So I think that means two things that are relevant to this today. Because we're individualized, we're each unique expressions. We each express some aspect of the spirit that the person next to you can't express as well as you do, and that goes for everyone, and no matter who's sitting next to you, okay? Because we're all uniquely beautiful, right? And it also means, because we're all individual, but in the one spirit, it means we're inextricably interconnected. We can't get away from each other, even if we wanted to. You'll take it? I mean, we are so interconnected that, of course, we can answer each other's prayers because we're all interconnected in that one spirit. So that means the spirit's going to answer prayers, that the universe is going to answer prayers, and it shows up in this universe as us. Well, then it's probably going to do it through us, which is the next thing we often hear, right? that spirit can only do for us what we allow it to do through us. Now, we often hear this for our own prayers. Well, spirit can only do for me what I allow it to do through me. That's true. But in answering each other's prayers, it's also true in the sense of, if I want my prayer answered, I might have to be open to the possibility or be open to receiving the love and the care and the compassion and the loving action of others in my life. And that may just be how that prayer is answered. I imagine most of us, maybe all of us here today, can think of a time when a prayer was answered, at least in part by the action of somebody else. Maybe they didn't even know they were doing that for us, but they did it, and we recognized it. As Adam Gidwitz puts it, that this is necessary, that this is how it works, because God does not work like poof. God works, that's very scientific. God works through people like you. It's a strange way to run the world. It is mysterious, full of wonders, and endlessly maddening sometimes. But it's how it works. And something to remember about this ability we have to be what I'm calling love in action for each other or prayer answered is you cannot destroy your ability to do this, and neither can anybody else. Right? No matter how many times or how many things you've done, things you're not proud of, and we all have, no matter what's been done to you, it can't take away your inherent divinity and goodness. And no matter how many times you lose faith and go astray, you cannot destroy this inherent goodness and ability to serve humanity, to serve those who need us, and to be the answer to their prayers. Because as the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. said, no person is all bad or all good. There's a drop of good in the worst of us and a drop of bad in the best of us. But what that means is your goodness is always there, no matter how much we might try to cover it up. No matter how much other people might try to cover it up. It's there. To answer the prayers of others' people, we don't have to be a certain way. We don't have to do certain things. We don't have to go about in the world and go, I'm going to look for my chance to be a do-gooder. Right? I'm not talking about being do-gooders. What I'm talking about is just being who we already are and expressing that. But I will say, I think we can cultivate this ability. I think we can bring it even more to fruition. One way we can cultivate this is through our own prayer work. And I'm a huge fan of the word surrender. Surrender to me means always something beautiful. I never have this negative connotation of surrender. So for what that means for me in the context of cultivating this ability to be a prayer answered is in our own prayer work, we can just say, Spirit, use me. Use me as you. Use my hands, my feet, my mind, my heart, my eyes, my ears, my mouth. Use me in the world. And consciously do this, and then your spirit will know where to lead you. Your intuition will know that voice of the spirit in you that is yours, intuition, will know what is yours to do and what is not yours to do. Leave it for somebody else that's more, perhaps better suited to do that. But when we build this consciousness and we listen to that intuition, we'll know what is ours to do. We may not even know we're answering somebody's prayer when we do it, but there's a pretty good chance we are. This intuition that is the voice of God in us, the voice of Spirit. Or as some of our Muslim friends say, you are the person Allah is preparing as the answer to someone's prayers. You are the person Allah is preparing. You, as you. Now, another thing to remember about this cultivating this consciousness and this way of showing up in the world is no comparisons. There's no big or small, okay? Don't compare. I don't need to compare what I'm doing to what somebody else is doing or the other way around, because it all matters. It all matters. Having a kind word with a homeless, unhoused neighbor is just as important as teaching a child to learn how to read. Because in the mind and heart of spirit of the universe, everybody's prayer is worth answering. Mm-hmm. And it all matters. So you don't have to compare. You don't have to look for some grand way to change the world. Just do what you can do. Or Edward Everett Hale wrote, I am only one, but I am one. I can't do everything, but I can do something. What I can do, I ought to do. What I ought to do, by the grace of God, I will do. And this reminds me of the story of a man who is just very distressed about what's going on in his world around him. Violent conflict, hunger, pain, depression. And finally, he just throws up his hands and he slumps down on the curb and he's like, God, why don't you do something? And then he hears a voice that says, I did. I sent you. So if it touches your heart, it might be yours to do. All right? It might be your opportunity to answer somebody's prayer. Now, the other thing we can remember when we're doing this work and building this consciousness is we don't even have to script out how it's going to happen, right? You probably heard, you know, the saying, God works in mysterious ways. Well, our job is to let ourselves be part of the mystery. We don't have to tell spirit how to do what it needs to do in the world, right? You know, actually, as religious scientists, the science of minders, we know this, right? Because look at affirmative prayer. There's 5 steps. Most of you probably know them. Recognize the one divine life and our union with it. Accept our good, give thanks, and let it go. What's missing in there? We're going to do it this way. God, I'm going to tell you, and while you're answering my prayer, and before I release it to you, I'm going to tell you how to get it done. We don't say, for instance, if we want a relationship, I'm going to meet a certain person at a certain time in a certain place, and we're going to date for 18 months, we're going to fall in love, we're going to get married at Camp Cedar Ridge, we're going to buy a home in, we're going to buy a home in Vancouver, we're going to have 2.4 children, one dog, I'm going to work at an office, and they're going to work at home because they're better with the kids. Yeah. Okay? No. Instead, we pray, I want a fulfilling, I accept and claim a fulfilling, loving relationship based on mutual respect and shared values, and then we release it and we let it go, and then we listen. We don't script it out. Again, our Muslim friends, you know, they have 99 names for Allah, and most of them get at some aspect or some characteristic of Allah, and one of them is Al-Latif, which translates as the subtle one. It can be kind of subtle and a little mysterious sometimes, but it seems to get the job done. Or if you prefer to take your guidance from great scientific minds, Einstein said, coincidence is God's way of remaining anonymous. Coincidence can be mysterious sometimes. And that's our job, is to let ourselves be part of the mystery, right? which brings me back to my story with my mother. It's quite mysterious indeed how I came to, and I think I'm answering Sean's question that he gave me yesterday. I said, you had to wait till Sunday. So, and here he is. I want my answer. So it's quite mysterious indeed. My mother had 7 children. So it's quite mysterious how I ended up being the answer to that prayer. Me, the child who continuously debated, you might even say argued with my mother about the superiority of science over religion. Me, the child who refused to go to church, and when forced to go, refused to go through the motions. I will not kneel, stand, sit, kneel, stand, kneel again. And me, the child who, when I left my mother's home, did not set foot in a church for many, many years, except for funerals and weddings. Nobody who knew me as a child or a young adult would have thought, well, now there goes a future minister. But here I am. And I just realized I opened myself up to some pretty interesting questions here in an hour or two. But it did happen, and it happened because I found science of mind and spirit, a spiritual teaching that did not ask me to check my brain at the door, a spiritual teaching that not only tolerated but welcomed difficult questions, a spiritual teaching that had none of that, we are the only one right religion. This is resonating, I feel. Okay? And a spiritual teaching with no original sin, no judgment, no hell. So when I found this, I was like, oh, this is interesting. This is a different concept of God and spirit and spirituality. I think I'll come back again. So I kept coming back, and I kept coming back. And after learning how to meditate and pray, I started sensing that there is... So I was an attorney in my most recent incarnation until about a month ago. So anyways... But I started sensing at some point that there was something different waiting for me. And my prayer became, God, Spirit, Universe, I do not want to die with my dance still in me. And this was my prayer for a really long time. I forget how long, maybe a couple years. I didn't know what the answer was going to be. Really, I had no idea, but I was completely open. Until one day, at a meditation retreat, I received a call to do this ministry, and I instantly started crying. And I cried for days, pretty much nonstop. And I surrendered to it because I also knew that it was the answer to my prayer. I had not had any clue this was going to be the answer, but here I am. And it wasn't, until that day in the fall of 2019 when my mother came to visit me, smiling. And I remembered back 19 years earlier to discovering her prayer. It wasn't until that day in 2019 that I realized that the answer to my prayer was also the answer to hers. Very mysterious indeed. And now, I got to tell you, I would have it no other way. Because I am thrilled that this was the answer to my prayer. And I got to tell you, I feel pretty good about being the answer to hers as well. Yeah. I sometimes like to think of my mother. Well, let me preface this. So sometimes that separate God that we don't believe in is handy for a story. So it helps make a point sometimes. So sometimes I like to imagine my mom now on the other side of the veil sitting down and having a cup of coffee with God and going, well, God, you know, it's not exactly what I had in mind, but it'll do. So indeed, these things happen in mysterious ways. And my invitation for all of us in the coming week, or really any time when you might feel like, what the heck am I doing? You might feel like you screwed up at work or at home, and you're like, oh my gosh, you know, why am I even here? You're here because the universe has need of you. You're here because the universe needs you to be love in action and to answer other people's prayers. And all you have to do to keep doing that is be you, listen, and keep going, and you'll answer more and more and more prayers. And that's exactly what this world needs more of. Now I'd like to pray, if I may, and I'd like to invite any prayer practitioners, if they would like to stand and pray with me and hold the consciousness. Thank you. As I take this breath, this sacred breath that reminds me that we are all connected in this one breath, that there's only one life breathing all of creation. There's only one life that has ever breathed any of us, that has ever breathed life into our ancestors, into those yet to come. All connected in that one breath, in that one life. That one life, so full of love and creativity and wisdom and joy, that it can't help but dance its creation every day. This one life that in this moment somewhere is birthing a new galaxy just because it can, and it's really beautiful. This one life that unites all of us, in which we are so interconnected that we get to answer each other's prayers. This one life that has never abandoned a single soul. And so I give great gratitude for that this is how it operates, that we all get to be part of its mystery, that we all get to uplift our family, our one human family. Even when we sometimes don't know if we're able to, even if we sometimes feel like we're not worthy, we're brought back to that truth that, yes, I am. So with great gratitude for all of this, I just simply let this prayer, these words, this consciousness, this feeling, I release it to that creative alchemy of the One Spirit, that part of the One Spirit, that says, yes, my beloved, it is done. And so it is. Thank you. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed today's podcast. If you happen to be in the Portland, Oregon area, we'd love to have you visit in person. The Portland Center for Spiritual Living is located at 6211 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard. Our inspirational service is at 11 a.m. every Sunday. We also have many programs, classes, and workshops developed just for our online audience. To find out more, go to our website at cslportland.org. And look under the online tab. We have a variety of content dedicated specifically for our podcast listeners. Our mission is to open hearts, ignite minds, and make a difference. If you'd like to support our center and its podcasts, you can donate online at cslportland.org/donate. Our website is also the place to learn more about what's going on at the center or to contact us. Allow us to become part of your extended spiritual community. Wherever you are in your spiritual journey, you are most welcome at the Center for Spiritual Living.